Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, bestselling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Button Podcast, where we talk to amazing entrepreneurs and people that have gone out there and launched their careers into areas that you aspire to be so that you don't have to go through the same learning curve. Because we know once we're in orbit, it's easy to stay in orbit, but oftentimes it's really hard to get off the ground as that rocket is going ahead and launch it. So today we've got an amazing guest, Dave Johnson. He's got a great background from being in the military to working with some of the top 7-8-figure income earners in fields that you probably didn't expect. We've got music, we've got boxing, we've got being an entrepreneur all around, and he also has an amazing family that I got to meet in Colorado. So Dave, welcome to the podcast, and introduce yourself to our lovely audience here today and tell them a little bit about your background.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. It's amazing to see. A little bit about me is I grew up in a small town of Killeen, Texas. And from there, I joined the military, spent 13 years in the military all over the world, from England, Iceland, Japan, Guam. I wanted the first 500 troops in Iraq, battle tested, battle scarred. I got into entrepreneurship while I was in the military. It was just something that came natural to me. And now I am what I like to say in the help business.
Now, number one, thank you for your service, because we really appreciate that. Being here in New York City during 9/11 and just experiencing a small thing that you went through on a daily basis. We definitely like to feature our military veterans when we have a chance to do that. And so explain, you say you're in the help business. What does that mean to you? Because everybody's got a different definition.
Well, for me, it's using myself as a resource. I've experienced a lot. I've seen a lot. I've done a lot. So there will be people who are on their fitness journey and just don't know how to get there. They don't know the direction to take. So I will help them there. There are people who are just new to entrepreneurship, don't know how to get there and don't know where to start. Help them there, right? And there are people who just need a smile, right? A helping hand, a caring ear, a shoulder for a moment. And I'm willing to help there as well. So
yeah, you're all over the place. I got to say, like, you are one of the fastest responders on text, on videos, on FaceTimes. Like, you're like right back at people and from all time hours of the day, from 3:33 in the morning. By the way, that's when Dave goes to the gym. So ever need an early wake up call, like he says, the smiles. But let's go back a little bit. So you were in the military and then correct. You come out, and while you're there, you fell into entrepreneurship. Tell everybody a little bit about that story, because that's not normal for most military guys, right? Military goes from structure to structure. So how did you make that change?
Well, I was a bit of a knucklehead. So when I first got on base, you find yourself with a lot of free time. So when you first get there, you go explore, you go sightsee, you go tour the areas around your duty station, but you don't really stay into that. You're not going to be a tourist every single day. So if you have 12, 15 hours in a day just to do a little bit of nothing, or you have four days in a row where you're off, your mind becomes idle. So I would just find myself in nightclubs and hanging out and things like that, and find myself in a little bit of trouble. So eventually I started hanging out with an older gentleman that I met in what's called the BX, which is the base exchange, right? And he owned the cell phone store there. And I was learning from him about all these different phones and how everything worked, because in my first duty station was in England. So in Europe at that time, everything was paying your phone bill was referred to as top up, right? So the top up system, I was learning the system and things like that. And he would always talk about what he would have to do if he were to, he was a dependent of another soldier. So what he would have to do if they got orders to leave. I went to Iraq, and when I came back, they just so happened to have had orders. By that time, I received my bonus. I had all my hazard pay and everything still in the bank, and we started discussing me taking over. He wanted $30,000 for it. I ended up giving him $4,600 because I waited till the day before he left because I knew no one else would take it, and I took over the lease. And the only reason I offered him $4,600 is because he messed up and allowed me to see his books. I knew
all
that he wasn't
numbers, right?
Yeah. I knew he wasn't keeping up with the books. I knew that his P&L was off. Right. So I just played the game. Sometimes you have to shark people. And that's what I did. It worked out to my advantage because 3 years later, I got orders to leave this base. And I knew that at that point in time, companies like Vodafone and I forget the name of the other one, but they were the European version of T-Mobile. They wanted into the base exchange, but I had the lease and no one else could come in. So I ended up taking about 276,000 pounds as a buyout. That was my exit for that. And that was my introduction to entrepreneurship.
So you turned like $4,600, just for everybody out there, $4,600 into about 300,000, because when we do the conversion from the pound to the dollar, right, it's always a little higher. So
it was at the time, what's funny is at the time, this is 2005, the exchange was, that 276 was about 334,000.
Oh, wow. So that's thousand percent return, right? Like what?
Yeah,
like
just over $329,000 return. Yeah.
Yeah. That is awesome. And to see that being in the military, and one of the things that we talk about often is building relationships. So you had built that relationship with that guy. You knew what was going on, right? You were just curious, willing to learn. And I think a lot of people are afraid to learn new things. And you were just like, let me learn about this, right? You're like, hey, I struck up a friendship. Let me learn about this. And having that curiosity, it seems like you've always had that curiosity to learn new things.
Yeah, that's always been my thing. Any conversation that I have can lead anywhere. And one thing that has always been for certain, when you're networking, the first thing that someone asks you is, what do you do? So my question is usually, how do you do it? Right? What do you do and how do you do it? Because it may not be for me, but it may be information that I can pass along to someone else. For example, I'm in the gym and a young lady is speaking to me in reference to trying to find her way in a new city that she just moved in, Las Vegas.
Right.
So she three kids, she's comfortable leaving them and having to work an actual job, and she would like to be an entrepreneur, but she also doesn't want to your product, so to speak. So I said, why don't you get your notary license? That's something that's low cost, easy startup. And if you know how to structure it, it's something that can make you a few dollars a day. You know what I mean? You can make a nice living off of it. You can make $200, $300, $400, $1,000 a day, you know, by doing that. I've never been a notary, but I've spoken to plenty of them and given me their how. So I keep that in the bank because I may be able to pass it along.
So for everybody out there, that's some information right there. Not just the what, but find out how people do things. So then you have that in your knowledge bank and you're able to share it. And you've done that, you know, we've only known each other a short period of time, full disclosure, right? A couple months. But I've watched you sort of do these things at different events and build relationships with different people. Just from the background, you've had your photographer friend show up there at the one event, you know, like do those types of things. So take us then through that transition. So now you made some money after the military. You're like, okay, I'm going to go out into the world now. You're out of the military and you've served your time. And now you end up with Floyd Mayweather, right, of all people. And then from there to
Well,
I mean, I'm sure there's a few stops in between, right?
Yeah. There was a stop in between. And after the military was a hard transition because I found myself having severe PTSD. And that was something that I had to battle through. It was one of those things where I stressed myself to the point of what was considered a mild heart attack. And living in the city of Dallas, I lived in downtown Dallas. There was a train right outside of my door. My chest was hurting. I was short of breath. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to make it driving, and I didn't want to wait on an ambulance. So that I hit it, like, out of my window, you can hear the bell ringing of the train. You can see it. So I walked over to the stop, and I got on the train, and I knew that I was five stops from the VA hospital. So I stayed on the train. I went over there to the VA hospital. Luckily, they were able to, you know, stop everything before it became anything massive. And at that point, it was like, I really have to do something because I had fallen so deep. Hugh, when I tell you, I painted my black, I had black leather curtains, right? There's a 3-bedroom apartment. I only sat in the master bedroom. It was fully furnished. I only sat in the master bedroom in a corner with my rifle to my right and my pistol to my left.
Wow.
With my back against the wall at all times. And that's no way for anyone to live. So that's also part of why I do what I do, because you just never know what's going through, right? And you never know their next move, but you also don't know what your smile can do for them.
Yeah.
So I always try to be a beacon of not just joy, but hope.
And to go from that, so, you know, because there are so many military members that I speak to that have had, unfortunately, moments like that. Right. And I know that's one of the biggest things in the military community is people and reaching out to your brothers and being able to do those types of things. And right. So you saying that, going from there to where you are today, it hopefully is an inspiration for lots of people out there that are going through that when they hear the podcast, and we'll share it with lots of military veterans, because even though they come back, so they often get all the services that you need or the inspiration that you need or the connection with people. Right.
Right.
So that's a big thing out there. So now take us from there, right? You're dying. You're like, okay, what sort of snapped or fell into place for you and said, I got to make these changes?
Well, yeah, I felt like I needed to do something. I needed to put my mind on something else. So what I did was I went over to SMU and I enrolled because, of course, you have your MGIB. So I figured I'll put it to use, right? I have all these school credits. I was able to go into a program while I was in England that allowed me to attend the University of Cambridge.
Okay. Wow.
Right. So why let that just go in the shitter? So I went to SMU in a grad program to become a CPA. As I'm in this class, I'm filling out some paperwork, not even a month into the class, I'm filling out some paperwork. Two professors are right outside of the door and they're talking, and they just happen to be talking about, you know, businesses or accounting firms and businesses throughout Dallas. And they were talking about how the big players don't want to go into this specific area. And that area is like my stomping ground. You know what I mean? Me, my people, my friends are from there. Right. So I put it in the memory bank. But so fast forward 2 weeks, I get a job interview in Houston, Texas. I'm in Dallas. Get a job interview in Houston, Texas. I drive down to Houston and I feel like the interview is absolutely amazing. The guys and I joked around, you know, we had a great time. That they felt everything that I said, and it seemed as if I would be a good fit, right? As I'm getting on the elevator, the older black woman lady comes over and she stops me as I'm getting on and she says, "Sugar, don't get your hopes up on getting this job. Those guys probably toyed with you." And she rubbed her hand and showed me, you know, like this isn't where you're wanted. So I walked out of there kind of with my head held high because I don't really bank on what people say. I'm more prove it with action. But then when the call didn't come, I realized it's all going to be on me. So with that information that overheard, I started riding around the areas of South Dallas and looking at the commercial availability of commercial property. I noticed there's quite a bit in all of the major areas of it. So there were two realtors and one independent commercial renter. I reached out to the independent guy. He said that he had eight properties around there. I told him, I said, I don't have the money to pay you right now, but I will pay you 1.3x when I do. And he was like, they're sitting empty, so I'll take the chance.
Yeah.
He gave it to me. We signed the lease. He gave me the keys. I started setting up shop. I was to replace toilets. I had to redo the plumbing. I didn't have the money to do any of this. I had to redo the some of the plumbing. I had to paint the walls. There was one office where it was so messed up that I just had to paint over it. Right.
Wow.
So I just had to paint over the floor. So I did all that. And I still, did you not, Hugh? I still did not have a plan, right? A plan of attack. I just knew I needed these offices ready to go. So I walked around to I want to say it was an H&R Block. And if it wasn't, I can't remember. But I walked around to one of those offices and I asked the guy, what do you guys get paid? Because I'm looking for an opportunity. And he told me that at the time they were getting paid $10 an hour, $4 a return. That's no money.
Yeah.
So I came up with a tier structured commission plan to have people do the exact same thing. But instead, you're bringing the bodies into the office. I'm not bringing the bodies in for you. Right. So from this number, you got 15%. It went up to 20%, 25%. And then from there, 40% once you got over 100 returns. My very first class, I expected to have 10 people. I went and printed out 10 textbooks. Right. I believe I ended up with 17 people at that the first day of the class, and then over 40 the second day. So I don't have enough textbooks. So I get more textbooks printed out. And for my second class, my second class was packed out. I ended up having a total of 128 people to start the tax season. And they went out and crushed it. Not every single person, but just about everyone crushed it. And at that point, I knew I was on to something.
Well, and look, if you got 128 people, even if they bring in two people each,
exactly.
Right? Like, you know, you get four, you got 1,000 returns, or yeah, just shy of that,
yeah.
1,000 returns. And that's a great first year of any business, right?
Right.
1,000 customers and just being able to grow it from there.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you kept feeling run into the gap, so to speak, or fill in a gap. You're like, hey, I don't know everything. And this is what I think a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck on, is they have to know everything before they take the next step. Versus you're like, I know there's a need. I don't know how to fill it yet, but I'm going to take the actions to put myself in place so that I can get this. Like, I have all the tools. Now I just need to learn that next piece, right? Just stay one piece ahead.
Right. And the idea of it is opportunity knocks. And you have to answer, right? That what I didn't want to at the time is not be able to take advantage of what I see in front of me, although I didn't know exactly what I was looking at. And sometimes, and I've even been a victim of it since then, but a lot of times you just have to jump out there and believe that you will land on your feet.
Right.
You know, your adjustments in the air. So
guys,
say that again.
No, go ahead. That's perfect, right? Like,
yeah.
You're like, hey, I'm going to take this leap and then I can move. You know, if we use a basketball analogy, like I'm going to leap. Oh, wait, somebody's coming. Let me take the Euro step, right? Or
right.
Let me dish the ball. But we're going to the rim.
Yeah, we're going to the rim. And the main thing in that situation that stayed on my mind was, back when I was in high school, my economics teacher would always say, people equals volume equals money. Just get the people. put the people in position, and everybody will win, right? He always would say, everybody eats. I didn't get it at the time, but now it's one of the things that I live by, because the way for me is to create opportunity for you. And if I do that, I will always not only be relevant, but I'll always be paid.
Yeah. So say that again slowly for people so they can take notes on the podcast. You said people equals
volume equals money.
Okay. Nice. I like that. It's a different way of saying it. Yeah. So now you've taken that philosophy. And by the way, that's a huge leap that most people are afraid to take, right? Yeah. Now, what I love about, I don't know if this is from the military, you're like, hey, it's, you know, it's not life or death. It's just, hey, I might go out there and might fall on my face and make a fool of myself, but you know, you're not going to die. Haven't been in the military and experienced crazy things there. Right. So this fear wasn't as big as it is for a lot of people that they build up in their head. You're like, I'm going to go take this chance.
Right. There's no fear of like, what's the worst case scenario? I sleep in my car. I've slept much worse places. You know, car is comfortable compared to a lot of things, a lot of places I've slept.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Even if you do hit rock bottom, there is an up. So don't be afraid to lose. A lot of times your loss will only be a step back. It won't knock you all the way off or all the way out. It'll never kill you. So you have to have faith that as long as you keep trying and you keep moving forward, that you will achieve. Those goals are there. You're just going to have to work for them. It's not going to be given to you. You know, this isn't the lottery. Entrepreneurship is not the lottery.
Right.
None of this is get rich quick. You may have early success, but I guarantee you, you run into problems. And the more success that you have, the more problems you will face. And you have to be solution oriented. You cannot not have the victim mindset. There should never be. I don't even believe why me should be in anyone's vocabulary, because who cares why, right? What's the solution? How are we going to get past it?
I mean, that so many people fall back on that, like, woe me or why me or right, why this happened. And all the times like you have to go through the fire to come out the other side, right? Like you've got to be put through it so you know how to handle the future.
Yeah. And that's even life, even in the gym. My favorite thing to ask people is, how you feeling? Because then I get to understand the mindset of that person, right? And now if I feel you're weak, I'm gonna get close enough to you in my workout to show you what real work and real pain is, right? I'm not gonna allow you to just sit there comfortably and do your little light workout and not break a sweat, right? We're going to get after it. This is war, but it's war within yourself. So I'm going to push you to your limits, because people, when you ask them, how are you feeling? They take it as an opportunity to vent their problems. Oh, I'm tired. I'm running off of 5 hours of sleep. And I did, but those are choices you made. You decided to stay up late. You decided to stay out late. You decided to drink. You decided to binge watch that show. Those are issues you made for yourself, right? So when you get into a routine and let me backtrack. When you make the conscious decision to better yourself, you will find routines that will bring results. And once you start getting results, you want to compound on those results. Would they say 1% better every day? Money man. So if I told you, hey, Hugh, I have access to this checking account that compounds 1% interest every day, I guarantee you'll give me your net worth. Correct? Right.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you put that energy into yourself every day? Making yourself 1% better every single day, right? Because it never stops. It doesn't matter how great you become. Greg, for example, right? We see Greg getting so much better in our eyes. It's right in front of us, right? You can feel it. You can see it. You can feel it. You can hear it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
but he puts the work in. He's a walking example of what putting the work in can do. Right. And that's why, go ahead.
Honestly, so let's back up for a second. So a couple things. Okay. We're going to take Dave on our inside podcast, and we're going to talk about Mayweather. We're going to talk about working with Steve Aoki and how you got there. We'll do that on the inside podcast in a couple seconds. Dave and I got a chance to meet through Greg Kimball at one of our events. And so Dave was going through that process with Steve and then met Dan Fleischman, right? And he's everybody wants to know Dan, right? Everybody, like, yeah. Dan, right? And so where Dave and Greg met, and then Greg brought Dave to the Final Percent and some of our events, and we got a chance to see him speak on our stages in Colorado. And then that's where we started to work out, and Dave is the inventor of the Gauntlet workout. So when he says he's going to put you through pain, if you work out with Dave, you're definitely going through pushing your limits on everything you can do, right? And he's going to talk about, and he created these shirts right here, this 1% shirt, the non-negotiable. You can see it behind him as well for those of you guys on YouTube, right? But the 1%, and this is what he was talking about with, you know, in the final percent, we say, hey, go that final percent. Are you really doing it? Dave created these shirts, and I'll tell you what, I come into this office just about every day. I've gotten already, like, just walking in the door, I got two people. One person started cracking up, and one person's like, I want one. Do you have one in a 5X? Now, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, he just started laughing. He's like, oh, I want one of those for the 1%, because he was thinking, hey, I want to be in the 1%. I think the other person thought, you're only at 1%. Like, yeah, don't bother me, that type of thing. So I want Dave to explain a little bit of his brand. And then, like I said, on the Inside Podcast, we'll go deeper into some of those relationships. But it was through Greg that we met, and we've watched Greg really transform over this last year. And as long as you've known him as well, going, he calls it the final percent. You're talking about giving people your extra percent. So talk to them about that philosophy.
Well, for me, that was created for Greg, right? Because Greg puts that battery in your back, right? When you're at your weakest, and thinking of that, I'll touch on this. Greg is one of those people that are just in the right place at the right time, right? I had a moment where I spoke to my father right before he went into surgery that Friday at the Final Percent mastermind. And I got off the phone at peace, but I that long walk back from the hotel room back down to the conference room. And as I walk in, my emotions built up. So I walked behind the curtain. And just as I walked behind the curtain, my knees kind of buckled. And I didn't see anybody back there at the time. I don't know if I was cloudy eyed or what, or my eyes were sweating or what, but I feel somebody grab me, and it just happened to be Greg, right? And he was there for me at my weakest point, you know?
Wow.
And he was just placed there, you know? Because very few people went behind the stage at the time.
Yeah.
Like, we were, you know? And I look at that as one of those things that I spoke about on the stage, is you have to be there for your people, right? And sometimes you don't know how you're going to have to be there, but you just have to be open to it, and you have to be willing to be there. So I apologize for going on that. I forgot your question in the midst of it, but.
No, so it's talking about the shirt, right? Like,
oh, okay, yeah. So
with your brand, with the shirts and everything, and that was part of it, so.
Yeah. What I was thinking in creating it, or up with the idea, is that it's about perspective. You have so many people who see things one way, and then others that see it another, and then you have people who see things for what they truly are, right? And the shirt was meant to be more of a challenge, right? So Greg has the final percent. Yes, we're going to show 1%, but what we're not showing you is that the positive of the battery, right? The energy of the battery, because when you look at it, we're showing you exactly who you are when you look at that and you say, yeah, man, I'm on my last too. Well, good. Then you and I need to talk, right? Because you have some things that you're fighting through that I could probably help you through. I'm that battery for you. I'm that charger, right? I'm that external charger that can put that energy back into you. So that's what it's meant to be. It's for us to, without saying anything, have someone tell us exactly what they need from us. And then it's on us to provide that for them.
Yeah. And It's funny the reaction that people have, because for those of you guys on the podcast channels, you can't really see the shirt, but it's a battery with a little red part that says 1%, right? And so it's a challenge from Dave to see how people think. And you were explaining this to me just before we started this, right? It's a challenge of how people think. Do you see it as, right, you're running low, or do you see it as 99% full?
Yeah. And like I said, it's perspective, right? That separates the from the great. It's perspective. And again, people are going to see it for what they want, but it's on us to educate them for them to educate them so that they understand their potential, and also to keep those people off the ledge. Those people who are truly on their percent where life is kicking their ass, right? Those are the people that we want to be able to lift up.
Yeah. And just be able to do that, or start the conversation, right? In essence, that's what it is. It's a great conversation starter. It's, you know, I see the security guard. We say hi every day. And today he's like, hey, I like your shirt, you know, follow the conversation. And the guy was like 20 yards away, like the shirt, and just started cracking up.
And he said the security guard asked for a 5X?
Yeah, 5X. So
this has to be a heavy set brother, right?
Yeah.
This is a heavy set guy, right?
Yep, 100%.
All right, so we're going to get him the shirt, Hugh. However, he is going to have to make a declaration to himself to take that 1% and compound it into his life.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and the cool thing is we're here in New York, and I know you come here often, so we'll...
Yeah.
We'll do stuff when New York here with this. And I know Joe's looking forward to seeing you in person as well.
Next time. That's my guy.
Yeah. So we chat every day on different things. And so with you being because you're traveling the world, right? Right after this, you're going over to Thailand. You're doing Muay Thai. Muay Thai, right? And you're not just doing a little bit of it. You're going full bore in, I want to fight.
Yeah.
Right? You want to be trained as a fighter. Now, we've talked about a few things. I want to go back for a second. At one point, you were 319 pounds. And this was only a year ago?
May 1st of last year.
So May 1st of 2024, you were 319 pounds. And you all of a sudden, you're like, I need to kick in my vitality. And this is just a tribute of what somebody can do in a year of work and pushing themselves, right? That final percent and pushing themselves. And what do you weigh now?
I weigh 233.
233, so almost down 100 pounds. But for those of you guys, on the podcast channel, of muscle. We're talking muscle, we're talking working out. He's at the gym at 3:33 in the morning. All of these different things. Created the gauntlet, which burns us all out when we do the workouts with him. He's kicking our arses. What caused that change?
I take you back to it, actually. April 27th, I go to my doctor's office for a routine visit. Right. They do my vitals. No one says anything. I go sit in the office to wait for him to come in. He rushes in. He's not pleasant, doesn't greet me, anything. He says, you have to go to the emergency room immediately. And I'm like, what's going on? Because I didn't look at the when the nurse pressure, I didn't look up. So I didn't see the reading. My blood pressure was 203 over 156. On April 27th. And it was known for running high. I was on 3 blood pressure medications. My blood pressure read this with all 3 medications in my system that day already. So at that point, it became I know what they're going to give me at the emergency room, but this isn't going to fix the problem. This is suppression that we're talking about. So I went home. Instead of going to the emergency room, I signed the waiver and I went home. I get home and the whole drive, I'm kind of not necessarily beating myself up, but giving myself the pep talk like, yo, we got to do something. You could say, oh, cut out sugar. Oh, cut out carbs. Oh, you know, do this, right? But I knew that there had to be a drastic change. I had to change the way I lived. So a day later, I'm sitting and I see one video about the carnivore diet, right? And the guy was spreading butter on his ribeye. So that's it. Cool. May 1st, meat, eggs, butter, salt. That's it. I joined the gym May 1st at 8:30. I took some pictures of myself before. I weighed myself and I said, I'm getting any more pictures and I'm not weighing myself for a year, but I'm gonna put the work in. I went in the gym. I did a little something that day. The next day, I did a little bit more and I just kept going, right? The one thing that I'll be honest, I've battled my weight over the years. And the one thing that always would stop me is I'd endure a foot injury. Something would happen with my foot that would stop me, that would derail me. I'd get momentum. I'd have progress. I'd see some changes. Then boom, something happened with my feet. Time I made the declaration that I don't care what happens. If I'm not on a gurney, I will be in here. So I ended up tearing a tendon in my foot.
Wow.
Ask me how many days I missed.
How many days you missed?
Zero. Zero. Not one. Right? I had people meet me around the gym. I'm in a walking boot. I'm just going to do all these machines on this row. That'll be my workout. I just hop from machine to machine. So I do that. I realize that, you know, it was kind of getting, you know, boring in a sense. And this is where I started to understand that there were levels, right? Because it's getting boring to me. And now I don't want to go, but I'm going because this is what I told myself I'd do. So in September, I was like, you know what? I'm going to change it up a little bit. I'm going to go to Thailand the whole month of September. That changed me because I got there. I work out every morning. The first, the coaches came in at 7:30 every day. I was throwing punches and kicks by 8 a.m. It was my first hour long training. Then I cool down a little bit. I go weight train. I come back for another Muay Thai session. And then in the afternoon, I would do jiu-jitsu. So I'd work out 3 to 4 times a day. And the reason I say four is because on most days, I'd also do the in-pool calisthenics that's offered at AKA. Shout out Mike Swick. Love gym. If you ever get the opportunity to go to Phuket, Thailand, you must visit AKA Thailand. But so I'm there and I'm eating on site. I'm doing everything on site. So I was doing nothing but sleeping, training, a little bit of work. I was not focused on work. I still checked in. I still did the little things that I had to do, but that
and hold on, just so people out there know, you're running 2 7-8 figure businesses at the same time. And you got a family, right?
Yes,
so
sir.
We're not just saying, when he says like a little bit of work, it's not like, hey, I got to check like my email. Like, these are big decisions.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But that's something else that I want to come back to, because structuring your businesses properly will afford you that type of opportunity to take time away if you need it. So I go through this process, and the last few days of me being there is when it really kicked in. Like, you have a different type of animal in you. You have something in you where you can take things up another notch. So at the time, I'm not seeing the physical change, but I'm feeling it. So that's why I speak on, or that's why I mentioned the levels of commitment, because you'll commit to something verbally, but you'll commit to something mentally where you say, this is what I'm going to do. Right. And that's what and you keep your word. You may keep your word, but that's only going to be for a short amount of time. Right. But when you commit to something emotionally, where without it, you do not function the same, then you've reached a different level. So I believe that's where I was when I left Thailand. So when I came back, that's where me getting up at 2:30 every day and being in the gym by 3:33, right? Every single day. Then I'm back in the gym 10:30 a.m. every single day. 2 workouts before any of you have lunch. And these are 2 intense workouts. I'm talking about I lift heavy. If I'm on bags, I go hard, whatever. Like, these are not your pansy workouts, right? So I'm really giving it to myself, and I'm noticing my body isn't like, I'm not drained, I'm not sore. And so I started to really, really, really dive deeper into, you know, the carnivore diet. I ramped it up, three a day, three buys a day, as much chicken as I wanted, many eggs as I wanted. I go through probably 5-6 dozen eggs a week by myself. So going through those two workouts, and then all of a sudden, and not to mention this, I hid, there's a video that I'm going to post soon, but I hid myself behind my shades, my hat, or my beanie, and under a neoprene sweatsuit, right? To make myself, it was something to keep myself sweating, right? It was really just something to cover me and shield me while I'm in the gym. So I wasn't in my comfort zone. One day, something just clicked, and I didn't wear the suit to the gym, and I started getting compliments. So the next day, I came in t-shirt, shorts, getting more compliments. I'm realizing people are seeing something that I'm not. So then when the compliments just never stopped, it was like, oh, okay, maybe I should take some pictures and actually look at myself. So in February, I was like, all right, the one thing that I'm not going to step on the scale, but I'm going to take some pictures. Man, when I looked at those pictures, I was like, yo, this is what I couldn't believe what I was. When you stand in the mirror, you don't, but when you get some still images or you see yourself in a video and you're like, whoa, buddy. And from there, I took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. It's been, I mean, even just in the short period of time that I've known you, I've seen you ramp things up and take it to different levels with this. And we'll go into the inside podcast and we'll talk about, you know, setting up your business the way you were talking about before, but just watching you transform and actually watching you come out, because oftentimes you're behind the scenes, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, just a full disclosure, when Dave does a workout, it gets up at 2:22 a.m. You know, he also works with Steve Aoki, and those shows are late at night. So he's going straight from a show. It's not like he's like, oh, let me go to bed at like 6 p.m. He's got a daughter. He's got different businesses. He works with one of the, you know, top DJs in the entire globe. And he's like, yeah, but I still got to be at the gym. And it's about that level of commitment that you talked about.
Yeah. And just to touch on that. So the idea for me is I have to be committed to myself first, right? But when you work with someone like Steve, you have to, who is a global icon, right? You have to, and that when you're in their world, they are first. So you have to make sure that he's in the right space, but we have an amazing team. So one of the things that I don't negotiate now are my workouts. So when I land in whatever city we're in, whenever we get checked in, I at least have 10 minutes minimum just to go to whatever gym is on site and get some sets in. Right. So, and then I'll get my in wherever I can after that. But I will not negotiate getting those initial sets in. I have to do something upon check-in. Then after the show, I'm getting after it because that's my time now. I don't care what time the show ends, where we are, but that's my time. I'm getting after it. We were just in Austin. None of the equipment matched some of the work. So I was doing shoulder presses with a 45 and a 30 because two heaviest dumbbells. And then I would just alternate arms. Yeah. And then I just kind of got sick of it, and I grew a little frustrated, and I was like, you know what? I was looking out the window, streets clear, weather's nice. I'm going to go on a run. So I went on a run through downtown Austin and you know, felt pretty good.
That's awesome. So on here, we talked a lot about consistent daily action. That's what you did when you were going to the gym, right? Saying, hey, I'm doing this every single day. And it's never going to be perfect. So you adapted to the situation. You're like 10 minutes of training. At least I get my heart rate up. Like, and I think that's one of the things that people travel a lot know they have to do is get right to the gym or right to a movement after you land somewhere. Yeah. I don't think the average person understands that just to get all the lactic muscle, you know, all the lactic out of your body, get your body going, get readjusted to time zones. It's one of the fastest changes to get you reacclimated to the area, but then you're just finding it and it's never going to be perfect. And I love that about what you do is you're just like, hey, here's the situation. I'm going to find a solution that works for me in the time zone. Like you were like trying to get us all at the Colorado event. Dave's like, let's all go to the gym at 3:33. We're like, we just ended at midnight. Like, and we got to get up and speak on the stage in the morning. We're like, hey, how about 5:30? You know, like, y'all can come at 6:30 or whatever it is. And then he did two workouts with us. So he's totally a man of his word. And you guys can do to follow him to do that. He's got a platform on Spool. Non-negotiable. You can see the logo behind you. So definitely go on there, check it out. It's free. Hop on there. And then for everybody that's subscribed, we're going to go inside here in a second. And he's going to talk about going to that higher level and organizing your business the right way with that 1+1=1,000 philosophy of he's been able to build that network and those connections at a deep level so that he can reach out to those people when you want. So Dave, we appreciate your time here today. Is there anywhere else they can go? I know we got your Instagram. We'll put it in there. We'll put the link to your school in the bio. Anything else you want to share with them? Any last words of wisdom?
Get after it. That's all I'm going to share with you. Get after it. Just do what it is that you know that you need to do.
That's awesome. We'll put a link to the t-shirts for that so you guys can get a spot. Go ahead and acquire those and be able to do that as well. So you can just start the conversations. And that's all it takes in today's world is don't be afraid to start the conversation with somebody. That's how Dave and I connected. We started a conversation, right? Yes, at first, and even whether it's in the gym, whether it's at an event, whatever it happens to be, just go up and say hi and start the conversation. So have a great day, everybody. We'll see next episode and we'll talk with you soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. At The Launch Button, we're dedicated to helping you break free from the ordinary and embrace a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Dive deeper into our episodes, access bonus materials, and connect with like-minded individuals on our website and our private community group. Are you ready to take the next steps towards your dreams? Subscribe to the Launch Button Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and never miss an episode. Remember, the power to transform your life lies within your grasp. Press the Launch Button and soar towards success. For more updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive offers, follow us on social media, join the conversation using #TheLaunchButton, and share your journey with our vibrant community. Thank you for being a part of the Launch Button family. Together, let's ignite our dreams and embark on this journey together of growth and discovery. Visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com and let's continue to launch your greatness. See you there.